Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Xiaomi Redmi 5, which is the newest budget smartphone from the Chinese smartphone manufacturer. This is probably the company's first budget phone which has a near bezel-free design, at least an 18:9 display ratio with like thin bezels at the top and bottom. So that sort of ties into the trend of increasing number of phones that have an all-screen design, and the Redmi 5 is one of those right now. So we are going to be talking about this phone in this episode, and we are going to be telling you whether it is a real good phone or it is just one more phone in the budget category. And to do that, we have our reviews editor, that's Jamshed Awari.
Hey.
And we have our games editor, that's Rishi Albani.
More like Xiaomi, the meaning of being lonely, am I right? Because this category has too many phones.
Please excuse that terrible pun. All right, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first things first, let's sort out this whole display thing. This screen ratio, if I'm not mistaken, is what, 18:9? But is it like properly bezel-free like the Mi Mix 2, or are there like actual proper bezels all around the phone?
Yeah, so a lot of people conflate the two things, right? 18:9 aspect ratio and a lack of borders or bezel, as it's called. That's not necessarily always going to be the case, and especially with the lower end phones. And as we see with this one, when you actually have it in your hand, when you actually see it, there are fairly noticeable borders. So phones have tried to reduce the left and right borders, you know, to the left and right of the screen as much as possible. But over here, we're still seeing at least a millimeter or two. That's just on the front face of the phone. And then the sides of the phone are also curved outwards. They're bulging. It makes it comfortable to grip, but it certainly adds to the thickness.
Yeah.
The width, rather, I should say.
Yeah.
And then above and below the screen, very, very few phones have managed to shave those off completely. This one in particular still has quite a prominent chin and forehead. So above the screen, you have the earpiece, you have the front camera, you have the sensors, and also a notification LED, which is hidden when it's not active. But below the screen, there's also space which is just blank. Now, it still looks fairly minimalist. There's no logo, there's no branding, thankfully. The buttons are still on screen, so the space below the screen is completely blank. But yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, so that bezel is annoying, but I do think that the phone does look pretty decent. I mean, it does not look like a, you know...
I mean, I don't think it's annoying, because there are very, very few phones that have managed that completely border-free look. Even the Mi Mix, as you were saying, there is still one side, you know, the bottom of the screen, which has quite a bit of space, and that's because they have to have the camera. And then you're going to get into notch territory if you want to avoid that.
Yeah, so that is, I think, for a future episode.
That's a that's completely something different thing. So, I mean, you get to choose, you get to decide which is the lesser of two evils, right?
Yeah.
Having the space above and below, which is sort of symmetrical and sort of, you know, it's not offensive. It's just like you have to figure out what you expect, what your demands are for a phone, and especially a phone that costs
less
than 10,000 rupees.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about the price of the phone then?
Okay, so the Redmi 5 has launched in three variants. All the specifications are same except for the storage and RAM. So there's 2GB RAM and 16GB storage for 7,999 rupees, 3GB RAM and 32GB storage for 8,999 rupees, and 4GB RAM, 64GB storage for 10,999.
Yeah, increasingly I believe like this is sort of causing a lot of confusion, right? I mean, Rishi, don't you think?
I don't know. I think it's amusing. The price points are amusing because it's evident Xiaomi wants everyone to pick up the 3GB version because of the way it's priced versus the versus 2GB and versus 4GB. It's just like, what, like 1,000 rupees more than the 2GB version, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, that's standard marketing practice, right? You offer multiple choices and then you sort of push people towards the one that costs
and
just a little bit more for so much more.
And honestly, I mean, yeah, there is confusion in the sense that do we really need that many SKUs at this range, considering Xiaomi themselves have, I think, what, close to 14, 15 phones in this category, at least in this price range?
Xiaomi has a lot of phones and a lot of variants. So I actually did this. I went to their website. I went to the Mi store. And I looked at how many variants of all of them there are. And between the Redmi 4, Redmi 5A, Redmi 5, Redmi Note 5, Redmi Note 5 Pro, Redmi Y1 Lite, Y1, Mi A1, Mi Max 2, and Mi Mix 2, there's a ridiculous number of options. There's
but then if we leave
16 options,
but if we leave the Mi Mix
just under
out.
14,000
rupees. Yeah, I think
rupees.
We should leave the Mi Mix out because that's that's premium flagship
that's,
whatever.
That's
phone.
The sole outlier. If you get rid of the Mi Mix 2, then the highest price is 16,000. That's at 15,999 to be accurate.
Yeah.
And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 individual SKUs.
Yeah, starting from like 5999.
Yeah.
5999 to 15999. Yeah.
Yeah. So
18 phones.
It's like almost more than one phone per 1,000 rupees.
Yeah.
Which is really amusing. I mean, if you think about it that way. And Jamshed, if I'm not mistaken, these are the phones that are in stock.
These are the phones that are listed on the Mi store right now. So we can probably expect the Redmi 4 to disappear. That's three of them.
Yeah.
You can expect maybe more phones to appear later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the real confusion is happening when like two phones of the same price with different SKUs and different whatever storage and RAM, etc. Are available with just like, I don't know, slight minor differences. For example, let's look at this. So Redmi Y1 Lite is 2GB, 16GB variant. That is at 6999. Redmi 5A, 3GB, 32GB is also at 6999. And from the looks of it, both have Snapdragon 425. So why? Like, why do we have like...
Well, I mean, we'd have to do a very, very deep dive into all of them. Hmm. All of the spec sheets to really get through that. And I would just advise everybody to go to gadgets360.com and check out our reviews of all previous models. And hang on for just a little while longer for our complete and thorough review of the new Redmi 5.
Yeah.
So you can compare it to the rest of them.
Yeah, so now since we are on that topic, why don't we talk about like the specifications of this phone? Like, since we mentioned that Y1 Lite and this have something similar in them.
Okay. So first of all, when it comes to the Redmi 5, you've got the screen, right?
Mm.
So it's a 5.7-inch screen.
With a 720x1440 display. And 18:9 ratio, it seems.
Yeah, of the screen.
And we're also looking at, it's I think one of the cheapest phones to have the Snapdragon 450 processor. So that's the other thing which it comes with. And we already touched on the variants in terms of RAM and storage. So from 2 gig 16 all the way up to 4 gig 64. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, okay. So do you think this, do you think these specifications justify the price that they are charging as of now based on the competition that's around this phone?
See, it's always good to have choices. I think that right now, we're still at a point where not everybody has managed to roll out a feature like 18x9 screens. There are very few manufacturers in this price range. Micromax with its Infinity series. InFocus, we've reviewed the InFocus Vision 3. Itel launched its S42. Very recently, just this week. We're going to see quite a few more of them. For now, Xiaomi might have the advantage. It's one of the better brands in terms of recognition. It's got a lot of goodwill. It's got people who trust it. So they'd be willing to buy this even online, sight unseen. That's a big challenge. Something like this is attractive. And I think Xiaomi has done well to launch new models. That's the Redmi 5 and the Note 5 and Note 5 Pro. To take advantage of that fact. Yes. And it's been less than a month since those two models launched, right? Just about a month.
Yeah. So, I do think that, you know, there's too much confusion in the, like, lineup that Xiaomi now has. As you mentioned, like, last month we saw two new models. And sort of their strategy is to keep one model around for, like, I think a year or so, unless that model does really well. I believe the Redmi Note 4 was the one which was around for a pretty long time because it was selling very well. But, you know, by and large, what they do is bring these new models in, keep them on flash sale until such a point where they can put them on an open sale. So that's probably the second biggest problem with this, right? Aside from the like line confusion.
Yeah. So I mean, I agree completely here. So just one, in case you guys are wondering what we refer to by the confusion in terms of their lineup, and I'll talk about that first for a second before getting into the flash sale drama. Is that we've had the Redmi 5A, the Redmi 5, the Redmi 5 Pro, and I think one more. We have had like a bunch of phones.
There's a Note 5 Pro.
Yeah, and there's a Note 5 Pro. My point is, we've had a bunch of phones from Xiaomi with similar naming. Xiaomi product name 5.
Oh, and I'll add to that.
Yeah.
Because the phone that we know over here as the Redmi Note 5
yeah.
is sold in China and in probably several other countries as the Redmi 5 Plus.
There we go.
So there's the Redmi 5, which we have today, and the Redmi 5 Plus, which are fairly similar. And even if you look at them, you'll see the similarities. But over here in India, that Redmi 5 Plus has been named the Redmi Note 5, and it's been grouped with a different phone, which is called the Note 5 Pro.
Yeah, so that's the thing for those of you who are wondering. This is what we're referring to as confusion. While the spec might be different and while it may look different, they're named similarly. But yeah, coming back to what Pranay was talking about in terms of availability, Xiaomi has historically known to be heavy on the flash sale side of things. Even though they've just opened a few retail stores called the Mi stores, and they've partnered with offline retail to some degree, predominant way of still purchasing their phones is still through flash sale. And I can't blame them. From a business standpoint, it makes sense, because you can judge availability, you can judge supply quantity, you're not stuck with inventory. And then whatever's left over, you can probably give it to the rest of the channel. But from a consumer standpoint, it's a little unfriendly, because it means you can't actually buy it when you want it.
No, I mean, as of now, what we're seeing is weekly flash sales. So that's not too bad. It serves to build hype. It serves to allow the company to manage its inventory, as you said. Mm. And it's not like you'll completely, find that the phone is out of stock. It's not that you won't be able to buy it at all. You might have to plan slightly in advance. It might not be the impulse purchase that some people make, although I don't think that's a huge factor. But I think it's working for the company for now. And as we see, as models get into their life cycles, they go into open availability.
Which then makes me wonder, why even have a flash sale to begin with? I mean, you can just do open availability and sell out once you're sold out. Bring in new ones if needed. I mean,
this allows them to stagger it batch by batch. You can maybe only build or import so many at a time.
Yeah.
And this might wind up being less frustrating, because people have that expectation of, okay, I might not get it when they go into it. But they're still hyped to try again the next week.
Which then again makes me wonder, is this more of an attempt to, still remain in public consciousness or stay relevant longer than it should be? Or is it just an attempt to combat the fact that the supply chain isn't as reliable as it could be? But regardless how it stands, personally, I don't believe this is fair on consumers. It seems a little unfriendly. It has always been, in my opinion. And it just seems to be more like a market. I mean, to me, each phone seems to be a marketing gimmick till the next phone rolls around. And with them, given the ever-increasing frequency at which their devices show up, we're not too soon from the next one.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm actually like with Rishi on this one. I don't particularly like this flash sale model. I believe that Xiaomi has reached a stage in its life where it can and probably should be bringing in like most of its phones in like open sale rather than this flash sale thing. It just works out for them in terms of marketing, yes. And the other thing is that like this also encourages a full market of scalpers, etc. Even though Xiaomi has said that it's trying its best to like keep all of that away. But you notice this all the time. Like if you want to buy the latest Xiaomi phone, you go to your neighborhood mobile shop. They will have the same phone, but they'll be selling it at a markup. They will be selling it to you at slightly above the MRP because units are in short supply. So these problems will be completely eradicated if they have all these phones in stock all the time.
I think the other thing to look at also is if you look at what phones have done well for them in the flash sale, it's been phones in this price range. We've seen this in the past with the Mi Mix 2, where it was a flash sale in name alone.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, in that category, the only ones who've seen any level of success in terms of flash sale, and then again debatable, is OnePlus. So, I mean, to me, it just seems like, yeah, they're playing to their strengths. But then you have to evolve after a point, right? Today, I don't understand how you can claim to be India's most popular phone, India's highest selling phone, when your availability is a sore point for a lot of people.
Yeah, and these flash sales also generate a bit of like resentment in terms of like, I wanted to buy this phone really and I need my phone broke down right now, or it's really slow and I need a new phone and I like this one, but I could not buy it. Like, I hear that quite often from people in my friend circle, at least, because this is a very, very popular price point. Let's just get that out of the way right off the bat. And lots of people do want it. And even now I get messages from people who tell me like, do you have any sort of a way to get this phone? Like, can you use your channels, etc.? As if, journalists get like some special access to these phones or something.
There is one way though, if they really want a Xiaomi device, is if they hang around the Xiaomi forums, there are ways to get friend codes from there. Mm-hmm. Friend codes allow you to ensure a place in the flash sale lineup.
Yeah.
So that's one way of looking at it. But
it's
then
it's like a free VIP pass.
Yeah, like they did it with a few of their other devices, and I mean that's one way to get around it. But again, your mileage may vary.
Yeah, so when they do a flash sale for something like the Mi TV, which we spoke about in a previous episode of the podcast, then it's understandable because, you know, this is like the first time you're bringing TVs to India. You're not sure about the market. You definitely want to gauge interest, etc. For that, it makes sense. But for phones, I mean, you've been in the market for what? Since 2014, right? So it's nearly 4 years now since you've been in the market. So to continue doing flash sales like till this point, I don't think it makes sense anymore apart from like it being good for the company in terms of marketing. But yeah, I mean, let's see. Let's hope that it changes for Xiaomi in the near future. So I think beyond that, both of you have used the phone for some time, right? Rishi, I believe you did a gaming performance review, and Jamshed, I believe you're doing the full review. So do you think this is yet another budget phone in this segment, or do you think there's like this is a really good product that Xiaomi has put out?
Well, there are certainly things about it that are attractive right off the bat. Number one, it looks good. It feels very, very slick. The standard of manufacturing and even the UI responsiveness, you know, the level of those things that you can expect at this price point has just gone up so high in the past few years. You wouldn't know immediately that this phone costs less than 10,000 rupees. Just a little while ago, this kind of experience would not have been possible for less than double or maybe even triple this price. And I'm thinking of 7,999 as the price because that experience doesn't change with the different amounts of storage and RAM. RAM might have a role to play when it comes to multitasking, when it comes to launching apps, having lots of things going on in the background. So yes, maybe the responsiveness would be affected to a little bit to that extent. And I should say at this point that we've got the 3GB RAM, 32GB storage variant in for review. So both Rishi and I will be talking about our experiences, but we refer specifically to the middle one.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, and if you think that, hey, you can get by just fine with the 2GB version, keep in mind everything we've said or saying to in terms of performance relates to the 3GB version of the phone. Having said that, I kind of concur with Jamshed on this. It's a pretty good, the performance is pretty good. We ran it through PUBG, PUBG Mobile in particular, and even though it defaulted to the lowest settings, yes, that's a thing in mobile games now. You have graphic options and settings. Hmm. It's becoming like PC gaming in the worst way possible. But despite that, it looked really good. It looked very good. And I'd go as far as to say it looks as good as the PC and Xbox One version. But that's because it's been built on ground up for mobile. So yeah, they've done a very good job in terms of visuals. And it plays really well. There was no frame rate drops at all. And most importantly, I think I played 3 matches in a row, almost 30, 35 minutes of gameplay time. And it barely broke a sweat. It just got warm. And that too, mildly warm. Yeah. So honestly, the Snapdragon 450 is everything, at least appears to be everything they claim it to be. Power consumption also wasn't that bad. I mean, max, I think I saw in that 30 minutes, around 12-15% drain, which is still okay, all things considered, considering I was on Wi-Fi and they are playing quite a bit, getting into matches really fast. And PUBG is also a network intensive game. So, but yeah, it ran really well on PUBG. That aside, Asphalt 8, which is a crowd favorite, it also ran very well. Particularly the Nevada region, the Nevada track, which is known for its really good lighting effects, those shone off really well. This is a game that defaulted to high. The highest setting on Asphalt, and it looked really good, played really well. Even the Tokyo level, which is known for its crazy rain effects and great lighting and splashes, also looked really good. So in those two games in particular, the phone excels. Even though in PUBG it defaulted to the lowest, it still played very well and looked really, really good. We even tried Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which is, you know, another crowd favorite, probably the oldest game on our list. And yeah, that crashed 3 times. While you're filming this.
But I think that's probably down to poor optimization.
Yes, yes.
Right?
That is something I have to be very clear about. That is down to the developer, Rockstar. It has nothing to do with the phone. Because we've had issues with this game on other devices as well. And to be honest, it's reached a point where I think sooner or later we'll have to remove Grand Theft Auto from testing altogether because of the number of phones that have had issues with it. We've even had issues with it on the S8 when he did it back in the day. We even had issues with a bunch of devices that Royden checked out, like the S9. So we'll probably may have to remove it. But yeah. when we got it running, it ran surprisingly well.
Yeah, smooth. So the gold standard is that if PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds runs properly on a phone, then, you know, the phone doesn't have any issues.
I think that's what... For Android, yes, that is the case until Fortnite is available.
Yeah.
And so far, it seems to be good. Reason why is because, I mean, yeah, it's using a version of the Unreal Engine and it's done well. Then we tested Warhammer 40,000 Freeblade, which is a popular shooter. And that also, it passed with flying colors as well. So long story short, in terms of pure budget gaming, if you're the sort who, you know, likes to play a ton of games on Android, and you'd be in good hands with this one.
Hmm.
I mean, aside from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, you're going to be pretty good with this.
Hmm.
And considering we're seeing a lot of, more uptake in the mobile space for gaming, particularly with games that push high graphics, we're seeing Fortnite coming out, we're seeing PUBG doing some good stuff. It seems to hold you in good stead, at least with the current stuff that's out there and maybe with stuff that's supposed to come out. I think you'll be okay reasonably for a year.
Okay. Jamshed, yeah. So any added thoughts on this phone?
Talking about, just to dive into a few of those points as well. Yes, this phone does not get warm and we're very pleased about that. Xiaomi does say that this has a metal body. Xiaomi promotes premium metal body. That's its exact wording on its website. Whereas the frame of the phone is pretty much entirely plastic, at least the bit of it that you can touch exterior. There might be a metal frame inside, but outside the cladding is plastic except for a metal sheet across the middle of the back. Now it covers a lot of the back, but you can feel it, right? You can feel the difference when something stressful is running because it's not that full enclosed metal body that gets really hot. It's down to the efficiency of the processor. It's down to a lot of things. But this is a phone that's generally going to be comfortable to use, even under stress. Benchmarks have run fairly well. I won't get into the nitty-gritties of every individual score, but you can check out our full review for that. When it comes to games, I've spent a bit of time with that as well. And I will note that in Asphalt 8, this is the kind of game that will stutter even on something like a Galaxy S8 or S9 in the menus, not during gameplay. But because it's so bloated, because there's so much of an effort to try and make people buy things, so much extra bloat, to put it that way, outside of the races, I have seen this game stutter on a lot of phones. And it did take a bit of time to load, and it did take a bit of time to just get into the game. Once we were in the game, perfectly smooth sailing.
I think that also has to do with the network requirements because, if you're on Wi-Fi and if the speed isn't that good, you're going to face that. But when we tested that out, we didn't see any issues with, at least on the office network. So, yeah, your mileage may vary there. But yes, I do agree that the menus are very front-loaded in Asphalt because, yes, they want you to buy things. But we didn't see any issues, at least in our testing, that show that, yeah, you're probably going to have a bad time in the menus. But yeah, that's just something to keep in mind.
I'm just using that as an example of behavior that I've seen and apps that could, bring this phone down to its knees almost. There are going to be apps, there are going to be games that really do stress devices out. And I say this because I've seen them stressing much higher spec devices as well. So it's not a failure of this phone. It's not a shortcoming at all. But you can't expect a perfectly butter smooth experience 100% of the time in 100% of all apps and games.
Yeah, and have you had a chance to test the camera yet? And if you have seen something about the battery life, then those are probably the only two points we need to cover about this phone right now.
Yeah, so in terms of battery life, so far things are looking good. We run a video loop test which uses a high definition video. And that's gone on for over 12 hours. Specifics, you can check out in our full review once again. But I will say over 12 hours of playback time on this phone, which is more than very many others at this price level have been able to achieve. We're quite excited about that. We haven't noticed significant drain while running games or apps, as Rishi said, or while recording video. In general use, we've been able to go through a full day and still have quite a bit left over.
Okay. Quick thoughts on the camera?
The camera is one thing that really stands out nowadays about phones. because you can get a good level of performance, you can get decent screens, you can get decent amounts of storage and RAM at low prices. But it's the camera that really differentiates phones at different price levels. And I will say that this is going to be one of the things that people who are expecting an incredible overall experience with a cheap phone like this might find themselves feeling a bit of a reality check. So number one thing about the camera is that you need to hold your hand really steady, especially at night. In some of the shots that we've taken, they looked great on the phone screen, but checking them out on a PC at full resolution, you know, at full size, zooming into 100%, you can definitely start to see degradation. You can start to see that textures aren't all that clear. Details are messy. There's noise. There's, specks of texture where there shouldn't be, textures that don't really get reproduced very well. Those are the sort of things that set high-end and low-end smartphone cameras apart. Now, we've only got one camera here. Other manufacturers are giving dual rear cameras, things like that. Those are mostly gimmicky. We're kind of glad to see that Xiaomi hasn't done that because there wouldn't have been much to gain from it anyway. You can take some nice macro shots. You can get good depth of field effects if you go really close up to a subject and there is a distance between that subject and the background. You know, you can get nice blurry effects. Again, try to do this when your subject is perfectly still. So you won't be able to get like a plant swaying in the breeze. You won't be able to get anything out of a moving car. That said, these photos are more than enough for a lot of people. You'll be able to share them on social media. You'll be able to show them off to other people by swiping up and down on your phone itself. And they look good. It's more than acceptable. I wouldn't say there's anything wrong with this camera considering the price of the phone. And that's what it really comes back to, right? Everything is considering the price of this phone. So one of the things about this phone that's a little bit of a surprise is it's still running Android 7.1.2. Now, a lot of phones releasing right now have Android 8, including a lot of budget phones. So this is a little bit of a disappointment, but what a lot of fans of Xiaomi really come for is MIUI, which is the custom, which is the company's custom software overlay. Now, there are a lot of custom features in this, and, you know, people might not really miss anything about the underlying version of Android. So you don't have things like the ability to long press on an app icon and see, you know, the notifications for that app or quick actions or things like that. That's something that we kind of miss about this phone compared to others. But MIUI does have a lot of other little tweaks that people, you know, get used to. So something, you know, fairly minor is that when you look at the call log and you have a missed call, it'll actually tell you the number of rings. You know, how it calculates that, it might not be exactly accurate, but you get an idea of whether somebody called you by mistake and hung up or whether they actually waited to see if you would pick up. You know, little things like that. Many of the built-in apps are customized, like the calendar. Notifications are meant to be bundled. Xiaomi was supposed to have introduced that, but so far in the apps that we're using, including Gmail, we're not really seeing that. So that's something that people might want to watch out for. Xiaomi has implemented somewhat of an iOS-like overview to the left of the main home screen. So you can see widgets for a couple of apps. You can get shortcuts over here to quick actions like clearing the RAM or launching the camera into QR code scanning mode or creating a note. And then you also have Mi Drop, which is their equivalent of AirDrop, which lets you send files up
wirelessly
and down,
yeah,
easily
to nearby devices.
Yeah, yeah.
But does it work only between Xiaomi phones, or is it like any Android phone?
You should be able to download this app on any other Android phone.
Oh, okay.
But it's a kind of brand differentiator.
Hmm. All right.
But I don't know. I mean, it's also begs the question, considering we've certain polls that have been doing the rounds on Twitter, which are now deleted, it still begs the question whether people, one, really care about MIUI or are just comfortable using whatever the phone ship with versus stock Android.
Yeah, so you know what? Like, increasingly, I believe that people in our circle, like this, how would I say, like I would probably call them tech enthusiasts.
Yeah, the enthusiast crowd cares, but
yeah, they love the, yeah. They love stock Android. But you know, I've actually had two or three people complaining to me that the Mi A1 is really bad because they don't like stock Android.
Yeah,
and they
prefer, not used to it. Yeah, I get
it. Yeah, they prefer Mi UI, which was there in the previous Xiaomi phone that
okay,
they own.
Okay, that's for
so.
Xiaomi fans. Yeah. But yeah. The idea is to widen the base to everybody. And so then you have things like, you know, should you decouple MIUI? Is MIUI the reason that we haven't been able to get an upgrade to Android 8, for example? Then you have even deeper debates about things like Project Treble and all of that. The point is that users don't really get the best of both worlds. You have to make a choice. You have to decide which path you want to go down. And MIUI has a whole lot of loyalists. Xiaomi has a rabid fan club. So yeah, I totally get what you're saying about people being disappointed with stock Android after this. And like I said, there's things that you might get used to. They're customized features. And it's good for the company to keep it all within the family. That said, I personally would like to see the latest version of Android and the latest security patches. And then you can do whatever on top of that you want.
All right. So is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Or like, can we wrap up this episode now?
I think we should, yeah, wrap it up. But yeah, do stay tuned for a full review, which should be on the site and on YouTube very soon.
Right then. So I think that's about it for this episode. And we will see you with another episode of Orbital next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can write to us with your questions, comments, or feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.